Wonderful to be together on this joyful occasion of Easter, when we celebrate the turning of despair to hope. When we think about, remember with wonderful victory, the turning of from sadness into joy. And those values are timeless. They resonate as much today with us as they did 2,000 years ago on the occasion of the first Easter. But what about the actual story of the resurrection? The homeless prophet who made bold claims about himself, who rocked the status quo and as a result was tortured and killed and buried in a hole in the ground. Just 3 days later, his body disappears and many start claiming that he has been actually physically resurrected. How does that story resonate with us? Maybe not so much. If we are honest, it's easier to think of Easter as a metaphor for hope, for good triumphing over evil, rather than an event that actually happened. But if we look a bit more closely at the reading that Griff just did for us, we'll see that Jesus does not allow us this kind of sentimentality. He goes to great lengths to let the disciples know that he really has risen from the dead, that it is a real and physical bodily event. Let's have a look a little bit closer. So the disciples, probably plus some others in a room, and these events take place on the evening of the first Easter day. Suddenly, Jesus appears in the room, and of course, as might be expected, they are shocked, frightened, and cannot quite believe that he is physically there with them. In the room, they think it's some kind of apparition. And then Jesus spends the next 11 verses rationalizing, debating, arguing, wrestling with them in order to say to them, I have really risen from the dead. This is not just a figment of your imagination. Now, from an early age, almost from when we are first born, we learn to use our senses in order to reach intelligent conclusions. And in the same way, Jesus says, use your senses to reach an intelligent conclusion about what has happened. So verse 38, 39, why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. Use your eyes, see the scars of the nails in my hands and my feet, where I was crucified to a tree. But they're still unsure. So in verse 39, Jesus, okay, that wasn't enough. Now use another sense, your touch. Touch me. That will show you I am real. A ghost does not have flesh and blood like I do. So they used their eyes to see him. They used their fingers and their hands to touch him. And they found Jesus to be as real as the sensation of physical substance beneath their fingertips. But in verse 41, they still did not believe. So Jesus, okay, all right, well, you've used your eyes, you've used your fingers, now, have you got food here? Let's eat together. Use your taste to see that we can share in this meal together. And do you know that so many of the stories of Jesus post-resurrection involve him eating whether it was breaking bread with those two disciples on the in a place called Emmaus, whether it was when he met the disciples after a night fishing and he cooked a breakfast for them and ate with them. If the resurrection was supposed to be just a symbolic allegory of hope, then why do the Gospels contain so many stories of Jesus eating with his friends? So they saw him, they touched him, they ate with him, but that still wasn't enough. There were still doubts, because then Jesus has to appeal to their minds, get them to engage their reasons. Verse 43, he says, look at the prophets, read the Old Testament, see what was promised that was going to occur, and see how many of them I fulfilled. Read and understand that they said that the Messiah, the Savior, must die and rise again. It happened. It makes sense. So he appeals to their sensory logic. Come to a conclusion the same way as you would with anything else. My resurrection is not allegorical. It is as real as anything else that you can see, touch, taste, or know. I was dead, but now I am alive. And I really believe it just in the same way that Jesus wrestled and invited the disciples to face their doubts and explore the reality of his resurrection. In the same way, Jesus invites us today to look around, to see and perceive the reality of Jesus. To use our minds, to wrestle with what is in front of us, to grapple with the claims that he makes, to contend with the evidence in the Bible and the other historical evidence, to talk to the many thinkers, philosophers, scientists who are Christians and know that this life is not all that there is, to talk to the many for whom Jesus has made a real difference in their lives. Come to an Alpha course and examine the claims of Christianity in July. But I think we've got to have some intellectual integrity. The story that we've just read, the story of the resurrection, does not allow us to see it as just a metaphor, a nice happy ending. Dismiss it outright, that's fine. But don't just say it points to a nice happy story. Luke calls us, Jesus calls us, to take his resurrection as seriously as something that you can taste, touch, and see, and know. These claims are bold. These claims are unequivocal and outrageous, and these claims require a similarly bold and unequivocal response. Call it a lie if you must, but don't dismiss it as just symbol. But why? Why should we? Why are we being asked to believe it so exhaustively? Why is Jesus really grappling with the disciples and with us to accept the physical reality of the resurrection? Why not just see it as a story with a nice ending? Well, I believe the answer comes in the very second to last verse that Griff read. Why is the resurrection so important? It's so that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all. So that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all. And we know that as we look around us today and see pandemic, inequity, homelessness, climate change, corruption, we know that things are not as they should be. And it's not just out there that things are not as they should be. They're also in here, because if I'm honest, I do things, say things, think things that I don't want anyone else to know. I can't live up to my own standards, let alone anyone else's. And when things are as bad as they are, both out there and in here, when things are as grave as that, we need more than just a story with a happy ending. We need more than an allegory or a metaphor, because a symbol can't save me. And so the Bible says, Jesus says, Christians believe that the only solution is Christ coming into the world in the person of Jesus and to resurrect the sin in ourselves so that we might know him through his death and resurrection. This is truly a bold and audacious claim, and it is one that requires a bold and audacious response. And this is our invitation today, to open ourselves up to the presence of God, that we can not just hope in a positive sense of wishing it to be true, but that we can know it in the sense that we can touch, in the same way that we can touch, hear, taste, and know. And again, another moment of honesty. If I'm honest, it would be much easier to believe in the resurrection just as a symbolic event, as a metaphor. But it would require less of me. And if I felt like I could walk away and replace it with another nice allegory with a happy ending. But Easter Day commands me, and I want to be so bold as to say it commands all of us, that we must contend with the actual claims of Jesus to have been bodily, physically raised from the dead. So I invite you to once again wrestle, contend, vie with those claims. Jesus invites us, in the same way that he invited those people on that first Easter day, to use our senses to come to a conclusion, to talk to others, to experience who know him, and to experience the reality of his love. I want to just finish with the verse of a Charles Wesley hymn. Thee we greet thee triumphant now. Hail the resurrection, thou King of glory, soul of bliss. Everlasting life is this, thee to know, to touch, to taste, to feel, to see, thy power to prove, thus to sing and thus to love. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.